countryside right now. It's Miller time. Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie live at Kenny's Irish Pub for a Football Friday broadcast on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's a beautiful fall weekend in the city of Chicago, and you have made it to your weekend and your Football Friday show. Bears and Browns cannot wait. Justin Fields on the field. We did a poll question earlier in the show. Who's under the microscope more? We made it just two candidates. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. Get over 2,000 votes. Who is more under the microscope for the Bears versus the Browns? Is it Justin Fields, first start, keeping him under the microscope, watching every throw, every read? Is he ready? Is he not ready? Or is it Matt Nagy? Is Matt Nagy calling the right plays? Is he sticking with the running game? Is he getting Fields out on the edge? Is he making it easier for his rookie quarterback? 85%, it's a runaway. Going with Matt Nagy is more under the microscope.
There's only one answer for me.
And Matt Nagy today at Alice Hall was asked the question, can you be more creative now that your guy, Justin Fields, is ready to start?
Yeah, to that I would say yeah, in the fact that when Ryan and I started this process, you start looking at the quarterbacks that are in this draft, and you start evaluating their strengths and weaknesses. And when you see, I can go back to where Coach Day at Ohio State, when we talked about the comment that he made to me about generational talent, when you put a person or a quarterback that can throw the ball like he can, but can run like he can, and has the ability to process and the want and the fire, the competitiveness, all that together, that's why you go get them. And so now, when we were able to get them, now you know, okay, when it is his time, there's going to be a lot of good stuff that we can do with this offense. But that does take a little bit of time, you know, and you see that as you go. There's little things that we're learning, too. Like this week, with him getting all the reps in practice, there's things that we're seeing that maybe we didn't see in the first 2 weeks because he wasn't getting those one reps. And that part is good. That's healthy, because now as long as we take that to him and say, hey, listen, when you do this, this, or that, this is what you got to get a little bit better at. This is what you're doing well. Right? Let's go back and watch the tape and see why you were a little bit late on this throw. And for him, all he's doing is just these building blocks of a foundation of how he's getting better. That's the beauty of him having these great reps in practice, you know, which is what he wasn't getting. But now he has an opportunity to do it, so we got to take advantage of it.
And it's why people like me and others have said, if you start him, he gets all the reps and you could develop him faster. That's called development, when you can go back to him because you could see what he's doing well and not doing well in practice, and develop them in the practice and then in the games. Of course, the game means more, but you're more prepared to play in a game when you're getting all first-team reps. JD is brought to you by Waddle's guys over at Hawk.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
JD, that's why it drives me crazy, listening to a soundbite like that. Why put all this time and money into Andy Dalton when he's not any sort of a future? And why not just find this stuff out and practice it in the field to begin with?
Well, what he was trying to say is how it had worked up until this week is that Fields was taking those scout team reps, but he was taking a lot of chances. So he was trying to push the envelope because it was scout team. And it wasn't as if he was running the offense the Bears were going to run. So he was doing some stuff that he normally would not be doing if he was taking the first team reps. Then he would go back after practice and run the first team reps with some receivers, but do it on air. So obviously you're going to learn a lot more about him this week with the defense out there actually going through the real mechanisms of a practice. So I think that's what Matt Nagy was trying to say. Sylvie, I get it. Look. It lasted two games, so you had to wait two games, and now it's week three, and now it's Justin Fields' job basically to lose. I mean, I don't believe that Andy Dalton, when healthy, is still the starting quarterback. I think what happened there, guys, is that they're just trying to leave themselves a little bit of wiggle room in the event, and I think it's unlikely, but in the event that Justin Fields is really bad, They could go back to Andy Dalton because Matt Nagy had said, well, when he's healthy, he's our guy. But that's not what they want to do. They don't want to go back to Andy Dalton. They want Justin Fields to play great and for this to all work out. I think what you're going to see, Sylvie, on Sunday is a quarterback that isn't all the way there, but still, because of his natural abilities, has a chance over four quarters to make a couple memorable plays. Now, is that going to be enough for the Bears to beat a tough Browns team? I don't know. My gut tells me probably not. But I bet next week when we're talking, there will have been like 3 to 4 really encouraging plays, and hopefully big plays, that Justin Fields made that everyone says, okay, no question, he's the guy, this is the right guy out there, and you take it week by week after that.
JD, how different do you expect the game plan to look on Sunday?
I expected Tommy to look different. Don't you? I mean, I think
it would be a criminal
investigation would have to be opened up if it was the same exact game plan that they would have run with Andy Dalton. I mean, Andy Dalton can't do what Justin Fields can do as far as moving the pocket and running and all that stuff. So I think it's going to look different. I think they'll take shots down the field. They tried to do that a little bit against Cincinnati. Of course, the most memorable one was Allen Robinson dropping the pass from Justin Fields. He's got that strong arm. I think he throws a really nice deep ball from what I've seen in practice, over the summer and into the regular season. So I think it will be different. I still think, though, they got to run the ball with Montgomery. Offensive line has to play well. It's not going to be like completely different, but I think it would be foolish of them not to accentuate the strengths that Justin Fields has. I think they've learned from their mistakes in the past. I think that's what you're going to see. I would guess that he will run for about 60 yards, which is pretty good when you consider he might get sacked a couple of times too, or get dropped for a loss, which would knock that tally down a little bit. But I think, again, of those 3 to 4 big plays that I believe they can make with Justin Fields at quarterback, I bet at least two of them will be him running outside the pocket.
Let's get to the injury report, JD. You've always taught our fans and us that when it goes the other way, when a player practices on a Wednesday or Thursday in a more stressful practice, and then they're downgraded for a Friday practice, that is never a good sign.
Never.
So why is Eddie Goldman able to get limited practice at least on Wednesday and Thursday, and then this week the setback happened on Friday? What's going on with his injury?
The only way that you could spin this in any sort of positive or encouraging way is if they just gave him the day off to make sure that he was ready for Sunday. But typically when that happened, they would write on the report, you know, rest day, veteran day off. Until he's out there playing, you have to be very skeptical with Eddie Goldman because it keeps going the wrong way. It was the same thing last week when he was limited for a day and then did not practice and did not play. I would say he's very questionable. I kind of felt like on Wednesday and Thursday, it might have been trending towards the right direction. He was out there doing stuff, but to not practice on a Friday when it's the lightest day of the week, Sylvie, to me, is very suspicious. And then how about Deshaun Gibson, guys? I mean, this injury happens on Wednesday. They put him down as limited. He can't talk to Nagy until today. He doesn't talk on Thursday because he did the favor of actually announcing the Justin Fields move before practice on Wednesday. And now he does not practice, and he's doubtful. That's a huge loss for a secondary that has already been very shaky through 2 weeks. So you'll see DeAndre Houston Carson, he's been their dime safety coming in, and they like him. Deion Bush is also a possibility. But either way, it's not like you got your top-line guy out there. And they already have issues, you know, with the nickel position has been very kind of hit or miss. They're not totally sure about Kendall Vildor on the other side. So that's a bad piece of news to have Deshaun Gibson go down with a hamstring injury in practice this week and more than likely be unavailable for the game on Sunday in Cleveland.
What is Breshad Perriman's status, JD? Are you expecting to see him on the active roster sometime soon?
So he's been inactive, Tommy, the first 2 weeks. Now, here's the guy they brought here because they love his speed. Now, and not to have a terrible pun on words here, play on words, but my guess is he's not quite up to speed yet with everything he needs to do to be active. But, yeah, I mean, at some point, he's a veteran player. Again, they talk so much about his speed. I would expect him to be active, but that hasn't happened yet. And keep an eye, too, since Tommy brought up wide receiver, you know, Darnell Mooney has a groin injury. That he's going to play. There's no question he's going to play on Sunday. But this is a deep play threat. And, Tom, you can talk about this more than anybody. I mean, a groin injury for a wide receiver, even if it's a minor one, can cause some problems, can cause a lot of discomfort.
I could speak to being a deep threat, and I was going to say, J.D., you know me
well. You're an all-around threat. You're not just a deep threat. You're an all-around. When I say all-around threat, that's Tom Waddle.
That's bad.
Deep threat, that's Darnell Mooney. So keep an eye on that. Again, limited a lot this week in practice. He's going to play. But when you talk about Justin Fields making those big throws down the field, I would say Darnell Mooney should be number one at the top of his list. So that's also kind of concerning. So not the best week for the Bears as far as the injury report goes with their health.
Is the lack of Cole Kmet having a difference-making impact on this offense? Is that more a product of him or a product of the offensive coordinator / head coach not getting the most out of him as well?
I mean, how much did we talk about the tight end guys all summer? Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, Jesse James was pretty good, I thought, looked really good in the preseason, and they got one target in week two. I mean, that's pretty horrendous. And Matt Nagy acknowledged it this week and said that has to change. I mean, Tom, all I can think of right now, because we haven't seen Cole Kmet play a ton. We saw him play last year, but again, it always kind of left you wanting more. I'm going to say until he has several weeks in a row where he is targeted at a higher than normal clip, I'm going to say it probably falls more in the category of the game planning, the scheming, than it does the actual player. I mean, they think he can be really good. That's why they drafted him in the second round. He's a two-way tight end. It looks, when you watch him warm up, when you watch him catch passes, when you watch him practice, you're like, boy, this guy's got it. And then when the games come around, he just doesn't get the ball thrown his way very much. So I'm going to err towards more the side of they just got to find a way to try to get him more involved and get more involved and get him the football, versus he's a bust and he can't play.
It drives me crazy, JD. I mean, the mea culpas. I mean, apologizing to Brad Bays. That's got to change with Cole Kmet. This is the guy who controls it all. And like, sometimes he acts like it's coming from somebody else and he's a victim of something. I mean, like, this guy controls his own destiny, and he's repeatedly apologizing for his own mistakes.
I know, but would you rather have that or someone that takes no responsibility whatsoever, like the last head coach?
I'd just rather have a guy who gets it right.
Well, these are the Bears we're talking about, Sylvie, here now. I don't have a winning lottery ticket for you, buddy. I mean, I know we're still celebrating your birthday. I don't have that birthday present for you.
JD, you mentioned that you thought there would be a specific narrative about Justin Fields after the game on Sunday. What's that same narrative going to be about the game plan? I know you said, and I feel the same way, you'd be crazy not to tailor it to the kid. But will it include, at the end of the day, will it include the bootlegs? Will it include a dedication to running the football? Are we going to look at this thing on Monday and say, wow, finally it makes some sense?
I don't want to be wishy-washy, but I kind of feel like, Tom, we're going to say the same thing about the game plan that we said about Fields. That there was some good stuff, but it wasn't all the way where it needed to be. Like, I can see the game plan in some parts of the game on Sunday. You're going to say, oh, this is good. This is smart. Like, they're playing to his strengths here. And then other parts, you're going to see the bubble screen again.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, you're going to see just the goofy, you know, like, what is
the bubble screen behind Marquise Goodwin, who's smaller than me as your lead blocker. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, look. No one in their right mind is going to come and tell you guys that all the problems on offense are going to be solved. There's too many problems, and they've been too chronic over the last couple of years. But I do think that there will be points of the game where you will feel like, okay, these are the right calls. They're getting in a rhythm right here. They're doing what they've had to do to get Fields on the loose. But then on the other hand, I can't get away from the fact that there's just been so many strange things that have happened the last couple of years that doesn't just disappear overnight with one quarterback change. I wish it did, guys. It just doesn't.
What's your score, JD?
I picked the Browns 24-21. I think it's going to be a close game. I just think Cleveland has a lot. It's on the road. It's the first start. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I had the Browns by a field goal.
I had it 24-20.
He's just at the over.
Yeah.
It's in the
44 and a half, I think, is where it's at now.
Just about. Yeah. So Just a little bit over. All right, JD.
Thanks,
great
JD.
Work. We appreciate it.
Enjoy your trip to Cleveland.
You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
There you go. JD on the Corona hotline. I heard perhaps, I hate to throw someone under the bus.
No, you don't. You don't hate someone.
Here at Kenny's Irish Pub,
yeah.
From a fan of the show, from a Bears fan, I heard perhaps the silliest statement I've ever heard from a fan.
Wow.
And I'm going to share that with you. Excellent. Coming up next.
Football Friday. Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside. And it's Miller time. Welcome to Waddle and Sylvie live from Kenny's Irish Pub on ESPN 1000.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football is back, and Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champs host Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, and Purdue this fall. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Feel bad here at Kenny's Irish Pub for the guy in the Alabama gear. He keeps coming up wanting a picture. You got a Roll Tide guy,
yeah,
here,
Abdallah. Yeah, but he's a Bama fan, so you can't feel too bad.
Every time he comes up, he's either wants a question or he wants to take a picture. We are like coming back from a commercial.
He's the king of bad timing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's at the bar, though, so that's not bad timing.
Well, no, hey, guy. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
He just yelled at that. Yeah. All right. I was talking to one of the fans here earlier. Her name is Cara. She's a big fan of the show. It is not Cara Waddle. This is
because she's not a fan of the show.
That's well played, sir. And we took a picture with her earlier, and you didn't hear this part of the conversation.
I did not. I saw she was wearing a fantastic Sylvie Strong shirt.
It was great to see, and it's always great to see the support and all the money we raised for the V Foundation.
Yeah.
And then she said to me, and she's a big Bears fan, big Chicago sports fan, and she said to me, but I can't root for Justin Fields this week. And that's what I said to her. I go, why? You're a Bears fan. She goes, I'm a Michigan fan.
Oh, stop.
And that's exactly what I said.
Come on.
I go, so? And she's like, she said he needs a year to take the blue stink off. Like, she can't root for Justin Fields right away. Look, for me, I rooted for Dennis Rodman after he came from the Pistons. I mean, that was you rooted for Bob Probert after he came from the Red Wings and came to the Blackhawks. Who cares?
That's a really bad excuse for her not being a Justin Fields fan.
I don't care how big. First of all, as a Go Blue fan and Michigan fan, you're getting your ass kicked no matter who's on the other side with Ohio State. So who cares who's on your Bears team right now? Actually, the better players are now on your Bears team because they keep kicking Michigan's behind.
Yeah, I don't know how you connect those two.
That is, to me, I've heard a lot of like crazy fanatical statements made by fans over the years. You know,
that's the one that doesn't sit very well with you the most.
I think that to me is weird and is.
Go ahead. What's our new motto on the show? If you feel that you can't cheer for Justin Fields the Bear because at one point he was Justin Fields the Buckeye, then.
Just because, like, if Aaron Rodgers.
What's our tagline now? Again, if you can't cheer for Justin Fields the Bear because Justin Fields was once a Buckeye, then.
You're a dumbass.
Thank you. Yes.
I mean.
It's the new show motto.
It's like the statements about LeBron, that if LeBron became a Bull, I never could have rooted for him, or if, you know, who else is in that conversation? If Aaron Rodgers would become a Bear, I can never root for him. Like, and this is 2 years. Like, that, like, okay, she's a Michigan fan, and it's years and years of the rivalry.
She's still here. She runs.
Justin Fields played in the rivalry for 2 years.
Yeah.
And like I said.
Did Cara leave?
I think so. She tweets the show. She's a big fan of the show.
Tell her to get wise. Or kick rocks. One of the two. You're either going to be with us or against us.
Have you ever heard anything like less?
Like
less,
what?
Less common sense than that. Like that's something that
I
just
sit next to you every day. Yeah, of course.
It's pretty funny. You got all the good ones going.
Yeah, I do. I got them all going. It's the end of the show. That's where you save your best material for the end of the show. You leave them wanting more. You don't unload your best material at 3:30. You wait till 5:30 when you're about to walk.
You on my line for Justin Fields?
I'm dying for it.
You know I wrote down a line. Yeah. I wrote down a line.
Yes.
And I took the over of, what was it? I think 265
it's
or something.
It's 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards passing, and 9 TDs in Cleveland.
I got Justin Fields going 50 for 51. No, I'm kidding. I got Justin Fields at 21 for 34, 241 yards, one touchdown throwing, one touchdown running, and one interception.
That's what rookies do. I would hope that the pass attempts aren't that high.
Well, they're going to be chasing, though, probably, too.
Well, I mean, but you can also run the football even if you're down 7 or even 10. And I think that running the football, A, is the best thing for this offense to do to begin with. And secondly, I think it's the best way to try to ease him into what they're asking him to do. You can't really effectively use the play-action pass if you don't commit to running the football. Because they'll just not pay attention. If they don't trust that you're going to run the ball, then the safeties and the linebackers are not going to draw in. They're just going to sit where they are.
And I do believe there will be enough mistakes to have the sort of meathead take that he's not ready. Of course, he's not ready to be a star. Again, there's a difference between ready to start and ready to star. No quarterback in their first start is ready to star. Very rarely does that happen. Peyton Manning wasn't ready to star. Tom Brady wasn't ready to star. Troy Aikman wasn't ready to star. Again, Justin Herbert, for as great as he is in year two, still has stuff he has to work on. As great as Kyler Murray is in year three, is still developing as a quarterback.
This is a very limited offense to begin with. And most people don't trust the guy at the helm. So you already have lowered your expectation level because of the system you've placed him in. Now you add the fact that he's a rookie, and you have to keep your expectation level at a reasonable spot. I can't wait to watch him play. The people that really, I think, they set the expectation level too high that you think he's going to go from starting, like you say, to being a star. I just think you're putting an unrealistic expectation level out there. Hopefully he'll exceed all of our expectations and become that star right away. But that happens fewer than it doesn't.
A couple of fun pictures I wanted to show you here. You could find them on my Twitter timeline at Waddle and Sylvie. The Yankees and Red Sox are playing this weekend. How weird is it to see a Yankee and a Red Sox player with their arms around each other before a hotly contested series for the wild card? You would never see that, right? But in this picture, it's Anthony Rizzo in his Yankees gear and Kyle Schwarber in his Red Sox gear.
It's good.
And also, I want you to
check out... Two of the good guys.
Check out the video of MJ and Ahmad Rashad cheering on Team USA in Ryder Cup action.
You knew he'd be there.
And Ahmad's got the cigar. Michael's cheering on the team. It's fantastic.
It's nice.
Thank you to everyone here at Kenny's. We had a great time. Thank you to Miller Lite, Chuck Garfine, Jake Cutler, Carmen DeFalco, and JD. Check out Jeff Passan on the podcast page. We've got Black and Abdallah tomorrow at 9 a.m. Listen for them.
Get some sleep tonight,
and
guys.
White Sox baseball coming up next. For Waddle and Sylvie, thank you, JR and Travis, and our entire marketing team. It's ESPN 1000.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.